Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are going to be talking about The Great Season 3 on Hulu. And then, of course, have a waste our water cooler moment to discuss episode 8 of Succession. But first, we have a pretty light news week. I'll start us off. Did you see the trailer for The Bear?
No, I saw a tweet saying the trailer dropped. Because didn't it just drop like today?
Yes, it was today.
I'm excited to watch it. I saw that there is a trailer. And even that was exciting. Did you watch the trailer?
I did watch the trailer and it looks good. Yay. I just forgot how much I love that show. And I love the way that it like showcases food. And there were so many good shots of food that were just so beautiful that I want to eat.
Mm-hmm. They just, well, I'll have to see the trailer, but knowing from season one, there's just so many gorgeous shots of like sandwiches. Yeah. And we love sandwiches.
We love sandwiches, but it also, spoiler alert, it looks like they're going a different way maybe. And, like, the food looks pretty gourmet. So, I'm interested to see how it goes.
Okay, interesting.
Also, have you seen... This doesn't really have anything to do with anything, but this is our podcast. So, I'm going to ask... I'm going to pull the Dumois card here. Have you seen the stuff about Jeremy... Is his last name White?
Jeremy... Alan White?
The main guy from...
Is that right?
Yeah. I think that's
okay,
it.
Okay.
I think that's it. And... getting divorced?
No, I didn't. Wasn't that like his childhood sweetheart or something? Is that true?
I think maybe they had a kid together. I don't know. They seemed like couple goals when I like went through my stalking phase after season one. And according to things on Dumois, he cheated with a PA on The Bear, I think.
Wow. Fame.
Sad.
Fame breaks couples. Fame destroys love. Just look at Chris Pratt and Anna Faris. I always think of them.
It's seriously wild. Mm-hmm. Like, he just barely had, like, I mean, he was already, like, famous.
Well, he was, like, in stuff. Show, yeah.
But, like, the true fame hit him and something happens, I guess, where you can't control yourself. I don't
the
know
internet,
how it works.
The internet declared him, like, a sex symbol. Just, like... I mean, it reminds me of Chris Pratt was in a billion things. I'm not saying that he like is Chris Pratt, but that's just always kind of the heartbreak situation I think of. Because then, he got Marvel famous and their love was destroyed. I saw this news that I'm still trying to really figure out the truth. But... Disney Plus is going to add Hulu content into create a one app experience later in 2023. And it's also going to increase the price of the monthly price of Disney Plus for ad free. Okay, so it does say this is, you know, straight out of Bob Iger himself, out of his mouth. Says, we will continue to offer Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus as standalone options. ESPN Plus, never heard of her, but okay. That is not on my radar at all.
That's the one streaming service you don't have.
So it's kind of like, it's like their version of the bundle, which there already was that though with Hulu
and everything. Yeah, I already have that.
So it's something, I guess, to do with like Disney... is going to have even more control over Hulu or something. I actually, when I had read a different tweet, I had thought they were saying that like Hulu is no more. Everything that's Hulu is going to be considered like a Disney Plus original, but you can still have standalone Hulu, which is what I have. Like that's something proud to brag about or something like.
Which is I was what just saying. I have.
You can take my standalone Hulu out of my cold dead fingers.
It's funny to me how like, okay, so streaming became a thing and now we all have like 50 different streaming services and apps And now they're all being eaten by one another and combining into one thing. So we're basically just going back to Cable.
Yeah.
Lots to think about there.
Mm-hmm. Life is cyclical.
Did you watch the Selling Sunset trailer?
No, I didn't watch the new one. I only watched like that goofy teaser. Haven't watched the full trailer.
I watched the full trailer and I don't know about it.
Really? What was weird about it?
I don't know. I guess I am in, like, I will watch it. It's just like, you can clearly tell that, like, there is a hole without Christine. Mm. And I had forgotten about some of the new people they bring on. And I don't know. I'm mostly excited to see Chriselle and G Flip's romance, which it seems like we'll get some of that. So.
Totally. I mean, if they're smart, that will become like the main plot line because it's the only interesting thing left without Christine. Yeah. And it would be like a very new direction for the show, which the show needs for sure. So yeah, I'll watch it for them, but I'm not surprised that even the trailer was like kind of lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad. Or is it? I don't feel anything, actually. I don't know if I feel sad.
It just is.
It's just something you say. One trailer that I did watch, and I'm assuming you also watched it, John Early's HBO. Well, he in his tweet, he specifically says on HBO. In the trailer, it says Max Original. But
at the beginning, it starts with HBO.
Oh, that is so confusing. I'm so over this.
It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it's gross. But anyway, coming out June 17th. So excited since he has not toured his... I think this is the same show that he like tours around, right? In his live performances?
Yeah, because he tweeted and was like, come see me before this drops. Assuming like... Which, yeah,
that makes sense. Since he has not brought his tour to a city near either of us, couldn't be happier that we can finally get to stream it at least.
Even though we said we'd travel, but now that we know we can watch it from our living rooms, we'll save our money to travel to the next one.
I feel like I've hit my quota for 2023 of like, actually, I'm not really traveling anywhere. People are traveling to me to see stuff.
Yeah.
But those tickets, the prices add up. Actually, that's not true. I am traveling to Beyonce.
So that's true.
That's a thing. But still, I have the easy job of I'm lucky that I happen to live in the city where people are traveling to, but not John Early. So thank you, John, for putting it on HBO.
Just gonna say the trailer reminded me so much of Daisy Jones and the Six, like with the like documentary style.
Yeah.
So it made me really excited.
That is such a funny comparison, and I agree.
Minx, they announced that it's returning for season 2 on Stars, don't you forget it, on July 21st.
Wow. I did forget that that's where they're going.
Stars and ESPN Plus.
Well, at least I knew that Stars existed. Even though, yes, its shows are mysterious to me.
All right. For our top three, I was feeling inspired. I literally just finished The Great. And while I was watching, I was just like, I hate that guy, Archie, the like reverend priest guy. Like, everything about him I hate. Like, he doesn't really have any redeeming qualities. I just don't like him.
Like, they intentionally make him very, like, gross to look at.
Yes.
I feel like, too.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Mm-hmm.
What have I told you? Yeah, Taylor, I think he's my favorite character on the whole show.
I'd say podcast over. Bye.
New hang up.
But I'd still send you my audio to edit together.
Thank you.
That would be a fun way for the listeners to also learn the podcast is over. So anyway, without further ado, our top three hated characters. I'll go first. I'll go with my least controversial.
Oh,
I'm going to do least controversial first.
I love it.
And I think I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Wendy Bird from Ozark. I just don't think she has like any redeeming qualities. And I really want to root for her, but there's never really been a time where I am.
I think that's part of why it makes her even worse, because we had hopes for her of be like,
yeah,
we love a girl boss. We love a girl boss villain. And when you end up just being dumb. Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, I think, yeah, the kids, she's the worst bird. That's just how it is. My number three, I said Littlefinger from Game of Thrones.
That's a really good one.
Thank you. Game of Thrones is pretty old, but, you know, spoiler alert. I literally cried happy tears when he finally died. And a lot of it was also because it was like kind of this amazing like family sister bonding moment for the Starks. But half of it was because literally he was dying. And like, he was just like so awful.
Good answer. I'm already feeling guilty for my first. I'm just going to say it, but well. My second, I said Daemon from House of the Dragon. It's still just shocking to me that people have like the hots for him and are kind of like Team Daemon. I just genuinely don't understand it. And maybe he'll change my mind the next season, but no, I really don't like him.
It's also kind of confusing because I feel like the writers we're not supposed to root for him or like think he's like a good person. Right? That's how I take it. So the fandom really confuses me. Like,
yeah.
The kids are misguided.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. My number two, famously hated at Girl Meets Show, and probably around the world, is Dean from Gilmore Girls. I genuinely think that it's, like, gross that he's, like, set up to be a valid love interest for Rory, because like I really think it's irresponsible because he's so toxic and so manipulative that I think it is truly irresponsible to present this guy as like a dateable person without having some kind of like message to the impressionable girls watching that these are bad qualities in a boyfriend.
Yeah, like I feel like it's supposed to be, it's kind of portrayed like this was her first love and like her high school sweetheart kind of thing.
Yes. And he's so possessive, he's so controlling, and like is visibly angry when she has like is independent or has a different opinion or emotion, and like those are red flags. And I think that is irresponsible writing.
I agree with you.
Thank you.
What are the creators of Gilmore Girls again?
Paladino something.
Yeah, the Paladinos.
Amy Sherman Paladino. Yeah.
Down with them.
I have beef with them, I guess.
Yeah. And during the writer's strike, Jordan.
Hey, they're not only writers. They're the showrunners and creator. Well, I haven't seen pictures of them on the picket line. Have you?
Good point.
Are they there? I haven't. Are you marching?
Can't say they're in my feed as like. I feel like I follow very specific people to see very specific people. So maybe they're there. I just haven't seen them.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. My number one character I hate, sorry in advance, I just never got around to him, and it's Roland Schitt from Schitt's Creek.
Mm.
I just, like, nothing he ever said was funny to me. They purposely made him hard to look at. I didn't think he deserved his wife. Like, I just, like,
and he makes their lives even really worse. Him.
Yes, like, he makes bad decisions.
Yeah, he ruins good plans. I did not know you were going to go in this direction at all.
I didn't either, honestly. But I was just trying to think of, like, characters who, like, are mostly loved and it's, like, more of a me problem than, like, a them mm-hmm. problem.
Yeah.
Because similar to, like, what you were saying when we were talking about Damon earlier, and something I've been thinking about since listening to the Ringer's recap podcast episodes with Bill Hader on Barry, something he talked about was, like, how so many people early on in the Barry seasons hated Sally, even though, like, they, like, and he was like, I don't understand how they're, like, rooting for this character Barry that's, like, terrible and, like, murders people, but everyone, like, hates Sally. And I was like, it's so true. Like, why did, like, we all just, like, she was just, like, irritating, so we didn't like her. And now I love Sally's character mm-hmm. in, like, a very different way.
Well, it's like, I appreciate that there's this character that, like, yes, she is irritating, but, like, that's because yeah. she is, it's an interesting, intriguing, imperfect character.
Yes, who's, like, been formed by the people around her and how she grew up that we, like, get
yeah.
a little peek into.
Yeah.
And he was saying how, like, they didn't even purposefully write her to be more likable, like, it just happened. And so anyway, I've just been thinking about that a lot. So I was like, who's a character that, like, is technically written for, like, to be kind of likable, but I just don't.
Mm-hmm. And I totally agree that he's, like, the least funny part of Schitt's Creek. It actually reminds me of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, kind of, where I think that there's so many funny characters, and then there's two such annoying, stupid characters where the comedy is, like, it's like the broadest, lowest hanging fruit type of comedy. And it's mm-hmm. just, like, these two dumb guys that work there. I don't even remember their names. But anyway, that's just because I know you haven't watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But it's, like, they have to throw in some kind of character that makes, like, really dumb jokes, I guess, for the people that like dumb humor. And so they, like, put in a character like
for
that.
For those dumb people.
I really feel like that because I'm, like, I don't know a single person who's, like, oh, you know who cracks me up the most? Roland in Schitt's Creek.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think, I don't know if I he doesn't, like, inspire rage in me like these other characters do, but I don't like him, you know. I don't think he's funny, and I just, like, pity his wife because he's kind of like a child. It's weird. Yeah,
it is very odd.
I support you. That is so I
thank you.
I also love that you set it up as, like, this is the most controversial. This is gonna ruin people's days.
Schitt's Creek fans are intense.
Maybe people do love him. I really don't know.
I'm not sure either.
Can't wait to see if we get hate mail from this.
We need a P.O. box.
Yeah, we do. Oh, that would be amazing, actually. Okay, my number one. Some people think this is the best written character in all history. But I hate Walter White from Breaking Bad. Like, and not in the way that I hate, like, you're supposed to hate, like, a villain. I don't think he's that intriguing of a character. Like, I feel like his journey is it's set up in the first season. Oh, he's gonna turn bad. He's gonna break bad, even though he was this normal guy. And, like,
I wish the listeners could see the eye rolls coming out of your head.
I just, like, and I love Bryan Cranston, but, and so that just shows what a great actor he is, because I just think Walter White is just, like, so irritating. It's been so long since I watched Breaking Bad that I can't really think of, like, a specific scene or something, but I have muscle memory of being so annoyed and, like, wishing I could just, like, fast forward his lines, because I just thought he was so annoying. especially in the show when there's, I think there's a lot of really interesting good characters surrounding him, but I just like can't, like I'll probably never rewatch Breaking Bad because I hate Walt so much. It doesn't do it for me.
Well, there you have it. Yeah, it's true, especially in comparison to like Aaron Paul's character, and it's like, he's doing the same things for him, but also like Walt is like taking advantage of him like at all times, and it's just like so annoying.
Yes, and I feel like Jesse, such a better character because he is conflicted like the whole time. I feel like Walt actually immediately kind of loses all like feeling any guilt or remorse or anything. And so it's like, how is that interesting? Like it, I feel like he becomes kind of more of a black and white character, but I don't know. I'm just over it.
Mic drop.
There you have it.
I wouldn't say that I'm too far off from that, your side of the fence either.
It would have been interesting if we really strongly disagreed with someone on each other's lists and like really could defend them, but you, I don't know, your instincts are right, I think.
Thank you very much. That probably would have been interesting. Which leads me to discussing The Great. We haven't really talked about it, but although I do, I'm pretty, we have kind of talked about it. And so I think we are leaning the same way on this as well. But how'd you feel about season 3?
I really do love Catherine and Peter as characters. I think they're very fun. Elle Fanning and Nicholas Hoult are very great. Overall, I didn't really enjoy it. I felt like it felt so long, and a lot of that is I feel like a lot of it could easily be cut out, because I actually said this to you earlier, but the show really thinks that I care. I'm speaking just for myself, because maybe there's other people out there that really do care about all these other characters, but I couldn't remember, like it took me like 4 episodes to remember the backstories of like a lot of the characters. I don't need to spend so much time with all these side plots. I felt kind of confused a lot of the time. I don't know. I didn't really enjoy it overall, except for Elle Fanning and Nicholas Hoult, who are stars.
Yeah, I felt the same. I agree. It felt really long. I've said this before, I'll say it again. The episodes could have been 30 minutes, and I think it would be a great show.
Agree.
I was extremely distracted by like a lot of the visuals and a lot of the writing, because it felt so cheesy and looked really cheesy. Like there's some specific scenes where like they are in a snowy area, and it happens like multiple people are there, and like there's it like a lot of the time is spent there. And like the lighting never was matching up. Like every shot that was cut
that
and like
so
would
true.
Show a different like scene or like a different viewpoint, the lighting changed, and it was like so weird and so distracting. And it just like all looks like a green screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it really rubbed me the wrong way, and I didn't like that.
I am so glad that you are specifically calling out the snow scenes, because I don't think that you always need to like film in real snow, but I kept thinking, I was like, none of their breath is showing. And like, I think that you could probably catch that in a lot of other shows that have like a snow scene. But for some reason, it just like, that was like the one part of that I noticed. Now that you're talking about the lighting and everything else, I'm like, yeah, of course, they were probably inside, duh. But I was just like, it just kind of took me out that I was like, no one even looks cold at all. Like, put some red on their noses or something. Like, it was kind of weird. It was like, I don't know, you have a way better eye for stuff like that. And even I was like, they look warm. Like, I feel like that's a bad like, sign.
On Elle Fanning's face, they like really they put a ton of blush on her so that she looked cold, but like, yeah, no one else did really. Like, she was kind of the only one,
and she kind of always has that in, not always, but in other scenes it's like that's kind of like her look, like because mm-hmm. she's just like a beautiful porcelain doll, you know? So it's like, I didn't really even clock that that was that different, you know?
Yeah. It was just like, we're watching one, like, it's one scene, but, like, they just keep cutting from different angles. And in one angle, like, everyone is blue. And then another angle, it's, like, super warm and sunny. And then in another angle, it's, like, black and white, basically. And it was just, like, it looked bad to me.
Yeah. That is so accurate.
And, like, there were some scenes where, like, even Catherine's, like, in the castle, like, talking to people. And, like, the background was clearly just not real. It was odd. It was really odd. And so, like, those things alone kind of already took me out of it. And then the plot lines also, and, like, I honestly feel bad discussing this during the writer's strike, but, like, I was genuinely kind of confused.
I was lost. I am glad that I'm not alone, because I, like, don't ask me for a summary of what happened in the season, because I could not give it to you.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna go into spoilers, because I think that it'll
it's time
read it, it's listened to better if I'm just, like, being explicit. But, like, one of the, like, main plot points was Pukachev, and it was very, like, basically a story plucked out of current times of, like, QAnon and, like, human trafficking, and, like, people, like, believing the president is going to be the president, like, those QAnon type of people and, like, how they're believing these, like, this, like, conspiracy. Yeah. And I was like, this feels, like, too in my face, and I don't like it. I don't want to watch The Great for that.
Yeah. And, well, and it's like, it didn't feel, I mean, I know that their thing is not being historically accurate, but it did feel almost, like, way too modern.
Yes. Like, for them, for their whole thing to be not historically accurate, I like the, like, really crazy things that would never actually happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't do something that we're, like, we see happening IRL.
Yes. Yeah.
That is so funny, because when you started the sentence, a huge part of the plot, there's actually, like, 15 different ways you could have ended that sentence, because I was like,
it's true,
they so blah blah blah, they're gonna go invade Sweden.
I never cared about the Sweden,
don't know what's going on, don't care. I also don't care about the marital dramas of the one guy and the two girls that I can barely tell apart.
Okay, I will say, I actually really liked Muriel's husband, like, the little kid.
Oh my gosh. Do you know that? Okay, so we're in spoiler section. So at this second half of the season, Peter is dead. It's, like, the worst decision the show could make.
Which is terrible, terrible decision.
Literally, my note, I'm reading this word for word. Okay, there are still three eps, and I'm so bored without Peter. Honestly, at this point, I'm watching for Maxim, the child groom. He's the best part. He is outside of Catherine and Peter, he's, like, the only reason to watch this show. He was hilarious.
I'm so glad. I honestly was like, I wonder if Jordan felt the same way. You know,
I did.
It honestly is kind of, it's hilarious how, like, you so similar we are usually with our opinions, because I thought that I was going to be alone in that.
Is so funny. No, I loved him. He was so, I feel like, inarguable. He was amazing. Great acting.
Yeah.
I don't even know how old that kid is. They say he's 11, but I was like, he looks way littler than that to me, but
there is a funny joke in there when they're like, he's 4.
I'm very team Maxim for sure.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Honestly, those were kind of all my notes. I mean, we already mentioned it, but killing Nicholas Holt so early on in the season just felt really stupid. And, like, I think they were like, oh, we still have him playing that Pukachev or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it's not the same. I don't care about that guy. No. I care about Peter.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I feel like the timing with them killing him off, it almost seems like, okay, so Nicholas Holt is like gonna go do movies and things like that, but he actually is still totally in the show because he's playing another character, so that's not a good explanation.
I mean, he's dead now.
Oh yeah, I already forgot that they killed him too. our guy did it, Maxim, right?
Yep.
So that actually does make sense. Another thing, though, I was like, in actual history, like, he does die, like, actually really soon. I was looking the brief history up of, like, the true story.
Oh, I started Googling it, but I couldn't remember what his, like, I think I was finding stuff about his dad and not him, so then I was I give up.
Well, I also read that, do you know that they always talk about his dad, Peter the Great, wasn't actually his dad in real life? So that's kind of funny.
Oh, interesting.
But anyway, he does, in real life, he did die, like, pretty soon after they were married. And there was a coup. So it's actually kind of crazy that they've, like, written this whole other story. And it almost seems like, because his death is, like, could not be more random. Literally just falls through the ice and is dead. And it's like, why didn't you build this up more?
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to, like, have an accident and die. That is so weird.
Well, and you know how she, like, murdered she accidentally shot her friend / were they lovers? I can't even remember.
No. But he was, like, her assistant dude, though.
It's, like, brought up in the beginning, and they're like, oh, like, he must have just left without saying anything, which is so odd. But then it never comes up again.
Literally never.
It's
She's
so
like,
weird.
I'm gonna go on a look for him. So weird. Speaking of, we much prefer Nicholas Holt as Peter versus Pugachev. I was reading this interview with Elle Fanning, and she even said the same thing. She was like, he actually acts different around set when he's playing Pugachev too. And I'm like, stop. I like you better when you're playing Peter. When I thought that was really cute and funny.
That is really funny.
Okay, so the very, very end, like, I think the last half hour I actually kind of liked when she's like, okay, you go do this and you go do this. That was, like, probably my favorite part of the whole season. And I really thought it felt like it could be the series finale. She has, like, that whole dancing scene. Mm-hmm. And
her hair looks great. It made me want to cut my hair.
I was actually wondering if it would make you want to go short again. Because it was giving Taylor, for real.
Wow, thank you. Pale girl blondies represented.
It looked so good.
Yeah, I would be fine if that was the end, obviously. But I agree. I really liked the last 30 minutes where she's bossing everyone around. And, like, then I was like, okay, would I, like, watch another season if it was this? Because I do think Elle Fanning can hold her own. And, like, yeah. I really liked the whole plot of, like, her grieving. And I think she did a really good job. So it was hard because it was, like, I didn't want Nicholas Holt's character to die. And I honestly kept thinking they were going to bring him back to life somehow. It just seemed like the kind of show that would do that.
Yeah.
But everything else about the season, I was, like, so not into it. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I feel like creatively the best choice would be to have this be the end for them. Yeah. I wouldn't be that excited to watch season 4 if it came out, because this was just felt like such a, like, it felt like work watching it, and I hate when TV feels like work. It's almost like they think with all these other characters, it almost feels like they think they have this kind of, like, Gossip Girl situation going on, where it's like they have this whole ensemble of, like, drama and storylines going on, but, like, it's not good. It's not interesting. If it was, like, Catherine storylines only the whole way through, it would be so much better.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I'm glad you felt the same. Well, I always worry, because I never want to, like, rain on someone's parade. If you loved it or something, I would feel bad being like, well, I thought it sucked and all this stuff. I would come up with a nicer way to say it, but I like when we agree that something is not good.
It is. It's fun. And like, it's fun that we like, we both came to that decision and like, we're kind of tiptoed around it until we were able to be like, yeah, it wasn't for me.
The big reveal. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Before we get to waste our water cooler moment, who's your crush of the week?
I am going to say Archie. Just kidding. The grossest character. Grosser than even any of the other characters on our list, to be honest. I just like, I do have a giant crush on Nicholas Holt. He is so good. And he's also just like cute and silly. And I really did feel the void when Peter was not around anymore. Because like, Peter's an idiot, but we need that idiot. We need him to make the show, to bounce off of Catherine, who's like a genius.
Truly.
It's perfect. So that dynamic is, ugh, it's sad.
I was laughing because this is the first time watching it since seeing him in the menu. And it's funny how they're both such foodies. Like, he's so good at playing a foodie.
That is hilarious. I did not put that together at all. That is so funny.
Yeah, that's, I so thought true. That was fun.
That is really fun.
Well, I'm going to choose Gregor then. Although I like don't like love his like love triangle, I was like really attracted to him this season. And he's, I don't know, hot. If it's like towards the end when he's just like a sad man.
He's, like,
I
just love living a sad in the man woods.
Or what? Yeah. A sad man with a baby, please sign me up.
Yeah, I think he's crush-worthy. He's definitely hot. You love him tall and lanky, and that's...
Unfortunately, yes.
That's how he is. Cheekbones. I see this a lot pop up, or not like, I see it pop up a lot randomly, but it's that quote from The Simple Life when this lady is talking to Nicole Richie, and she's like, well, what kind of guys are you into? And she's like, I like them skinny and pale, and they look like they're dying.
Oh, so true.
That's really funny. That doesn't really, he doesn't look like he's sickly, but anyway, I just thought that. I just wanted to tell you that quote, basically.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, waste our water cooler moment, episode 8, the election episode that we've been waiting for. I will say, I think it was hyped up a little bit too much in my head of like something crazy.
Get out of my head. Get out of my head. We have so many of the same thoughts this week, which I love.
I'm scared.
But are you living in there? Am I living in your head?
Maybe. It sounds like it.
Because one of my notes was like, I was expecting something completely random and shocking to happen somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Like, it was extremely upsetting in, like, the fact that, like, wow, America's the worst. And, like, but I didn't feel like anything was, like, super out of the ordinary. Like, they've been hinting that Roman is pro-Mencken and, like, would do anything for Mencken. And although it makes me extremely upset because I've been a Roman apologist, like, the entire series of the show, and now I'm like, Roman, I hate you.
Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't it, I think last week we did call him the MAGA prince.
Yeah,
we've been knowing, but it doesn't make it hurt less, because yeah, I
know,
I love Roman too, and he was, well, it's like he pounced on an opportunity, you know.
And couldn't let it go.
No.
And I mean, he honestly was working smarter than everyone else. Like him giving those talking points to the anchor, and like he was working overtime for it. So,
yeah. Well, it's like, it actually kind of makes me think of, I feel like some people have said this in reality in the past, where it's kind of like, oh, why are all these like MAGA people gaining so much momentum and power and stuff? Whereas, and like a lot of the more liberal people are kind of like, waiting and being the bigger person, kind of like the politicians, because they're like maintaining propriety, kind of. And it is, it's kind of like, well, because
you're like, common sense will win.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really.
Exactly. And so it's almost like, yeah, because Roman's like, okay, I'll go do stuff, even though it's not really my place. It's not right for him to take all these steps, these extra steps. But the people that are playing the game the correct way and following the rules, quote unquote, are the ones that lose in this, at ATN and in this. And so, and they get overridden, like all the, like Tom and the strategist guy, like they just end up giving in. One of my notes too was like, wow, this is the first time that I can't wait for a Succession episode to end. Cause I really was just like, I wonder too, was Jesse Armstrong just screwing with us? Because like, I was already tense and like horrified watching it all go down, and election nights are already so triggering. But since I was like waiting for something really weird and bad and shocking to happen, I was also kind of like in an anticipatory kind of mode. And so then I was like already like, oh, it's building. What is it building to? What is it building to? And then it was like, wait, it's over? And so the whole time I was like, it like built extra tension because of what Jesse said about episode 8 being the most shocking one, you know?
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of like what plot, like what thing would have been like the most shocking that he was like thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I could really think of is like the way that Shiv's downfall, like the way that Shiv crumbles, and watching Shiv talking to her brothers in that scene was like the most heart-wrenching thing. Like I was like, Shiv, you dug this grave and now you're not even doing a good job at like trying to save it and save yourself. And it made me worried because I now think that like all of them are gonna be in a bad place with each other.
100%. Yeah, it's, we don't see Shiv so tongue-tied like that and caught off guard ever. So it was upsetting to see her like that. It was really sad.
Stuttering city. Yeah.
Yeah. I kept thinking the Succession is just you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. All of them. Like, oh, so just watching it all happen. And also this whole season, like Shiv playing both sides, of course that's gonna end badly. Like what is gonna happen, you know? The brothers are never gonna find out. Also the fact that like, yeah, I wanna say all those mean things to Greg too, but of course that was gonna bite her in the butt too, like especially mm-hmm. with like how like Greg isn't the same like easily manipulated.
He's
Greg anymore.
He's been Kendall the whole time, I think.
Yeah, and he's never not been close to Tom either.
I will say I kind of thought that maybe Tom would have been a little bit more Team Shiv through that episode after hearing that she's pregnant with his baby.
Mm-hmm.
Although like he was so shocked. And also something I forgot until I was discussing this with some coworkers, like he was high. He was high the whole time. And so like, yeah. I guess in my head I was like kind of thinking that maybe he would be helping her. And so I thought maybe also Greg would kind of go easy on her a little bit, but nope.
There's just so many times when she just like overestimates her position in every situation. And like, she's usually is, I think, smarter than everyone, but she's still only like one person and no one's really Team Shiv right now.
Mm-mm.
In there, and it was really hard to watch.
Yeah, she doesn't have a Greg, she doesn't have a Jess.
Mm-mm.
And she doesn't have a Jerry. That's interesting.
Yeah,
hadn't thought about that.
Well, and she used to have a Tom, but push him so many times. I mean, obviously
mm-hmm.
he's gonna backstab you to your dad, so that already happened. It's almost like she was putting too much faith in Tom this whole season. Like, even though they were in a bad place, like, she still did kind of trust him with some stuff.
Well, she just has always thought that she could manipulate him no matter what kind of place they were in. And yeah, that's not true.
That's a great point. But it's like everyone else has kind of been getting more cynical to almost match her level. Mm-hmm. Like even Greg and Tom, who she thinks like are just kind of bonzos. Bedtime for Bonzo. And so like if you're too stuck in your perception of them being dumber than you, then if they're going to be able to overtake you because they're actually growing a little smarter and more evil.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're screwed.
Yep.
Wow. I don't even, I feel like I've said almost every water cooler moment. Like, I have no idea where it's going to go. But I truly, there's two episodes left and I have no predictions.
Absolutely none. I feel like ATN is in trouble. It's hard for me to believe that them making the call and calling the election like that on air is going to work for them. But with only two episodes to go, I don't even think recounts would be done by then. So I don't
know. No way.
No.
Well, even listening to the HBO podcast about it today, when they were talking to those like political analysts that they use for like, as experts to help them write their scripts and everything, which was like so cool. They were talking about, it's like, what would you realistically do if this was what happened to Milwaukee votes? It's like, yeah, would you have to have like a whole nother election day for that city or something? Like, what? That mm-hmm. is just, it's wild.
It truly is wild. I thought it was interesting because they were saying on the podcast, like Jesse Armstrong was like, you don't want to like necessarily like copy exactly what's been going on in like our real life. But I was like, it feels eerily too close still.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of why it was so horrifying.
Yeah, it's so true.
Something that stood out to me in interviewing Jesse Armstrong on the podcast was I loved how he has an interpretation of Tom's feelings about the pregnancy. Like he was like, oh, I think that he like he's just stalling, he's just like trying to mess with her. And then Kara Swisher was like, well, I don't think that, I think he really doesn't believe her. And it was just so funny, it's like telling her opposite interpretation to literally the one who wrote the episode. And Jesse Armstrong's like, that's a good point, yeah, I can see that. So it's like, that's why,
like, you may have convinced me.
Yeah, it was so funny because I was like, this show is just so good because even the literal writer isn't going to say this is exactly what his thoughts were in this moment. Like, I don't know, it could kind of go either way. Here's kind of what I think. Here's how I interpret it. And it made me think, like, because I just have been seeing, I've been bombarded by suggested tweets of people's like hot takes and stuff. And I'm just like, wow, everyone really thinks that they are an expert of what's going down in Succession and they think they know every single thing that the character thinks. And I was like, literally even the creator isn't 100% sure of what one character is thinking in one moment. And we mm-hmm. can learn from this that it's like, that's why this show is good. We don't know what a character's thoughts are. All we have to go off of are like what actions people are taking, like the facts that are going on, and the characters are so complex that like who knows what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was talking to someone earlier this week and they were like surprised that me and you were are kind of anti Tom, because they're kind of, I wouldn't say they're pro Tom, but and it's also just so interesting, like I think the characters that you like, because they all have kind of equal, they all do things that make you want to root for them, and then they all do things that ruin that rooting for them.
That's
and
so true.
Like who you're drawn to is just like different for everyone, and there really is no right or wrong.
100%. Because I even have a hard time identifying as anti-Tom, even though I'm rooting for, I feel the worst for Shiv right now, and I want Shiv to kind of come out on top. And I'm really mad mm-hmm. at Tom, but I also see the history of the Shiv and Tom dynamic and journey. And so it's like, I understand Tom's actions. I don't like them. You know what I mean? So it's like, this show is just so good that like, I can't. And I'll be rooting for Shiv at one point, and then she'll say something awful the next, and I'll be like, well, I can't identify as 100% pro Shiv either. Like, it's just so good.
It's truly wild, because like, Shiv right now, she's just doing the same things that her brothers have been doing the whole time, but she just did a little bit of a worse job and got caught. It was, I felt a big hole of Jerry's absence, I will say. But I'm excited to see that she's at the funeral. In the preview for next week.
Yes. Oh, man. I do, yeah. I guess I'm happy for Jerry. But I'm sad for us that we don't get to... That she didn't suddenly become the main character of the show.
I was surprised that she wasn't even like in the room with skinny neck guy and
Hugo,
yeah.
And my other favorite character, Frank.
Yeah. And Carl.
Yeah. I guess they technically they still work for them though, right? So I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, but doesn't Jerry? I guess he kind of fired her. Never mind.
I think, well,
it was,
don't ask, here's another, I don't know the actually, technicalities.
They never really officially said that, like, Sid was fired. And so I was kind of confused until they, like, brought her up and how they were like, oh, Sid would wear these, like, specific shoes on election night.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
That was, that was good.
Because, like, Sid's firing was the thing that Logan mentioned before getting on the plane before he died, but I didn't know if it ever actually happened. I mean, it makes sense that it would happen even after he died so that Tom could take over, but they never really said that was a thing, I don't think.
Well, and it also was confusing because Logan was talking about that at the same time he's talking about Jerry getting fired, and that one didn't stick. So then it's like,
yeah, like,
so did all of those, are all of those non-official anymore? But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. And RIP to the con heads. I'm kind of scared of them.
I am too. I love Connor, but he is so terrifying. It is also really funny because, like, it was like this funny thing where it's like, oh, is the shocking thing going to be that Connor wins? And it's like, no, this show is mostly grounded in reality, and Connor would not win.
I started to believe that was going to happen.
I don't know.
So I set myself up for failure on that one.
I was trying to think, like, especially today on the podcast when they were talking about, when the political analysts were talking about Connor and stuff, and I was like, actually Connor is kind of like the Trump equivalent, sort of, even though he didn't get so much of a political following, but because it's like, he's really just rich, he just kind of came from this like rich famous family. Because Mencken reminds me more of like a Ben Shapiro type, if like,
oh, interesting,
if like Ben Shapiro, because wasn't he like on YouTube or something, Mencken? And so I was like,
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure that he like kind of got popular saying awful things on YouTube, I think. And so that reminded me of like, wow, what if this was like if Ben Shapiro was like gonna be president?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And it's true, because like Connor also kind of his fans are like kind of those like the like rural living people that don't want to pay their taxes, which is just
yeah.
It's like ironic that those are the fans of Trump. And so, yeah, it matches Connor. So interesting.
I think that the Succession team would like deny that they had literal, because they always say that it's like, oh, it's like, it's not literally the Murdochs or whatever, you know, but like,
yeah,
I don't know. There's a lot of suspicious similarities.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all I have. Anything else for you, Mia?
No, that's all for me, too.
All right. Two more episodes of Succession. And that's all for us today. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.